Turn in your Bibles to Romans 8. Romans 8. I'm going to spend a few moments. Amen. I'm going to be in the Passion Translation this morning. How many of you know that God is orchestrating things in our life? Do y'all believe that? Because in that brings an amazing amount of peace. That should eliminate the freak out moments. That should eliminate the fear. That should eliminate the what ifs. You know, because God's got this. I think Nick was texting me earlier this week, and he was asking about Lori, and he's like, "How you doing, man?" I said, "No, man, I'm good." Kind of like when Krista was in the process of expelling cancer from her body. And Marty was, and it wasn't a fake it till you make it thing. Every time I talk to Marty, he's like, just an amazing piece. God's got this, man. God's got this. And that's what I told Nick, I think, in one of the texts, I said, there are too many promises that he's given us, so I ain't worried about something getting taken out premature. And we have these conversations. We've kind of had a time for the last month or two with Lori and health and all of this stuff, just, you know, little things, to where we've had conversations. And then our trip to Chile was almost comical with the stuff, you know, and we kid about Lori's nickname being Mayhem. And that was, we called her that before the commercials made it famous. Every time that, and she was kidding with the nurses, say, "Man, if it can happen, it's going to happen because my nickname's Mayhem for a reason." All that, I'm backing off from saying, I'm going to quit saying that. I'm going to stop saying that, and I'm going to encourage her quit saying that, quit declaring that. you know, we had conversation recently about, is the enemy attacking our health? You know, because one day, you know, and I know, man, I'm 61 and she's 58, and so we get the time where your body starts getting wore out, or that's what they say. I don't believe that. And you know, we had one day, and I was at Emory Orthopedic, and she was at Carrollton Gastro, and at the same time, we couldn't even go to doctor appointments to each other. And we said, "Man, is the enemy attacking our health?" I don't even think he has the authority or the power to do that. How many of you have given him that place before? Enemy's attacking my health. What gave him the right to do that? Come on, somebody that believes in a new covenant that we live in, that was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. That joker ain't got no authority to come in and attack my physical health. Chew on that a little bit. I'm not even going to give him place. But God will take things and God will orchestrate things. We live in a natural world. We live in a sin-cursed world that is in the process of being redeemed. You want to know what your job on this planet is? You know what your purpose and your calling is? And we're thinking, am I called into what type of ministry? Your calling is to redeem this place. Where you live, redeem it. Where you work, redeem it. Well, you just don't know the work environment I'm in and all of this. Quit whining and redeem it. I'm serious. Quit whining and redeem it. My family's a mess. Redeem it. My health's a mess. Redeem it. I'm going to read some scripture in a minute to you. People asked me, I said, do you believe in divine healing? Not only do I believe in divine healing, I believe in divine health. How long's a man supposed to live? Ask me in about 5 years and I might have a good answer for you. I'm still working on that, but I believe in divine health. I believe my body is supposed to function exactly the way that he designed my body to function. And if I read scripture correctly, we're about to read it in a second. It talks about creation is groaning to escape the decay from which it has endured under the sin curse. And we're taught our whole lives that our body's just this decaying thing, that we get this point and then it's all downhill from there and it's supposed to fall apart and decay and die, and we're in the process of dying. And I'm in the process of dying to self. I'm in the process of dying to the old man and all that stuff. I die daily in that. But this temple that he built is not in a, not supposed to be in a state of decay. Salah. And I say that with a wife that just had a stent put in, just got a jacked up back and gallstones right now. And I've got tinnitus and arthritis. But it doesn't change the facts. It just means we're in this process of redemption. Let's read some scripture. Y'all think I'm jacked up. I'm going to tell you what the word says, okay? Everybody good with that? Romans 8. It's good stuff. I love Romans 8. Romans 8 will kick you where you need kicking. He says, I am convinced, this is the Apostle Paul, I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. Less than nothing. I like that phrase, less than nothing. It's less than nothing. It didn't say, man, it, you know, you weigh it out and, you know, we talk about counting the cost. Psst. Dude, there is no cost to count. When we look and we consider what we might be giving up for what we're receiving in his glory, it's insulting to him that we even put them on the scales together. Any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared. And this is a cat that went through some stuff, guys. Read the book of Acts. He went through some stuff. He said it's less than nothing compared. Compared, that's the key word, to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. I think King James says the manifestation of God's sons and daughters. All of creation's on tiptoe, yearning, longing. For against its will, listen to this, for against its will, for against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. Did y'all get that? That ought to make somebody go, "Ooh, yes." But now with eager expectation, all creation, all means all creation, longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation, as it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters. Included our physical bodies being transformed. So our full status as God's sons and daughters looks like something in our body. It means you don't have to have the knees of a 50-year-old man, Errol. And your foot doesn't have to hurt all the time. You say, well, that's just the reality of life. You know, I played hard and misused my body and all of this stuff. Talking about all of us, you know, one too many days on the inner tube at Buck Cannon City Park. You know, Seabreeze back in, for all you old school folks, Alice knows what Seabreeze was. That's a funny name for a lake in Buck Cannon, isn't it, Seabreeze? But this says right here that this is even going to manifest in our bodies. You say, man, where you come up with, you believe in divine healing, that's a stretch for me because I've got issues. But I say, I believe in divine health right there. I believe in divine health from that right there. That one scripture alone is enough for me. That this is going to come and this is going to manifest in our bodies. That's the path we're on. That's the reality path. God, teach us how to live. That's one of our words for this year. Teach us how to live. Teach us what our worship's supposed to look like. Teach us what our devotion's supposed to look like. Teach us what our intimate time with you's supposed to look like. Teach us what we're supposed to eat. Teach us what we're supposed to drink. Teach us how we're supposed to exercise. Instead of being fascinated with somebody else's life on Instagram, live yours. Can I say that again? Instead of being fascinated with somebody else's life on Instagram, start learning to live yours. Because I promise you, theirs is not a more amazing than what yours is supposed to look like because it's yours. We should latch onto these things and hold these things dear, these things that God has brought into our life. I guarantee you, I drove home yesterday pulling in my driveway with my wife sitting next to me, and that's the best my home has ever looked to me because my wife was sitting next to me. And you think about the what ifs. We pulled in the driveway and I was like, whoo, the land's glad you're home. The dogs are glad you're home. The cows are glad you're home. The horses are glad you're home. Creation's glad you're home. There's a heightened awareness to it. And the Apostle Paul comes in and he said, we who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed. For this is the hope of our salvation. But hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? So because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. Death's not the gateway to that, guys. Jesus Christ is. And we grew up making death the gateway. When I die, I'm going to go to a perfect place. When I die, I'm going to have a new body. When I die, I'm going to have a new mind. When I die, all of these things are going to happen. And we push everything off and we make death the gateway. And God wants us to live this amazing, 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 full, complete, redeemed life right now. And release it in the earth. And to be Him in the earth. I believe in heaven 1,000%. There is such a thing. You know, the 1,000%. I totally believe in heaven. Yes, I believe we'll be reunited. Yes, I believe. I just don't think it looks like what we all think it's going to look like. Verse 26, and in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times I'm getting about to the part that I want to park and spend a few minutes on. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. There's a cry in you. There's a groan in you. There's a presence in you that is engaging Father God, that is engaging us in this oneness, that is engaging us in this circle dance, if you will. And we get locked up in this. When I say this, I mean the circumstantial stuff, the temporal stuff, the stuff that comes into our mind. This is what I got to do at work, James. You were talking about when you pray on the way to work. It happens to all of us. And God said, there's a realm that I want you guys to live in, to move in, to find your being in. And that's this place of oneness with Him. That's this place of perfect peace. And that should be what drives us. He said a while ago, those of us who have tasted the first fruits of the Spirit, I definitely fall, most all you guys fall into that category. Wouldn't you say I've tasted the first fruits of the Spirit? Whatever that looked like for you. Maybe we go back to the time where I asked for more, and then we call it in the Pentecostal war, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe there are multiple baptisms. I believe that's one of them. But maybe it looks like that. But we've experienced His overwhelming presence and engaging and uniting with us. And once we experience that, that should propel us into more. That is a gateway for more. It's not a stopping point. It's not a, okay, check the box point, because we're bad about checking boxes. I know people that will travel and see something just to check the box. I see people that are more interested in getting the perfect selfie to put on Instagram. We were on a boat the other day when we were down in Chile, and we were at the edge of the Southern Patagonia ice field. It's the third largest ice field glacier body in the world, behind Antarctica and Greenland. And we took a boat out to the glacier. And I was talking with the guide on the boat and all that, and he said, this ice is 30,000 years old. It's from the last ice age. And I'm sitting here, and I'm just kind of, you know, moved by something that was frozen 30,000 years ago. And now it's melting, and it's starting to go back to its place of origin, just a whole cycle. And I'm getting all of this in. And then I look around, and I see a lot of the other tourists that were on the boat, and they're going over here, and they're getting three or four selfies in the perfect shot. And then they're going right back inside and drinking their Pisco Sours. And me and Lori's kind of sitting on the deck, and we're just like in awe of this, you know, the blue colors, and they said the blues are the oldest and all of this stuff. And we're sitting there, man, we're just soaking all this in, and this is amazing, contemplating stuff and all that. And they're selfieing and then running back in and getting that Pisco Sour. And I'm like, that's us in our spiritual life. We check the box. Well, it's just somewhere I wanted to always see. Check. Move on to the next thing. And God said, I want you to realize that these things are gateways to go deeper. They're gateways for a maturing and a manifestation. This thing that we've experienced, the first fruits, isn't like, that was awesome, that was amazing, that was part of my life. There are so many people right now, guys, that I know that have experienced the same first fruits, or when the settings that experience the same first fruits that I experienced, that are not in any type of a visible pursuit of the Lord. I don't know their heart, but are not in a visible pursuit. And I'm like, what happened? What happened? Because this thing drives me to go deeper. This thing compels me to want to know Him. To want to come in and experience Him. To want to come in and do life with Him. And it's not just a scholarly thing. Don't take it away as that. I want to understand the way that He moves and the rhythm of Him and all of this. We look back at, I just look back at the what ifs in the last 3 weeks in our life. You know. Nora's got this front artery that's 99% blocked, and we're down in Chile, and all of this crazy stuff's happening to her, and we're like, why is all this happening? The devil's attacking us and all of that. You know, God's sitting up here shaking his head saying, he ain't got the authority. He doesn't have the right. He don't even give him that, you know. But anyway, we're thinking all of this stuff and all. She hurts her tailbone. First day we're there riding horses. We ride horses all the time. We rode horses all over the world. And she hurts her tailbone back to the point where we had to do x-rays when she got home. I mean, jacked up. And we're like, oh, God, what's the luck? She got feeling a little bit better 2 days later. We go on a 5 mile hike, you know, nothing, no big deal and all this. About a half mile from the trailhead when we come back, she dislocates her ankle. I mean, her foot's this way and her ankle's this way. And, you know, in times past when that's happened, it'll pop back in. It sit out for probably 10 minutes, you know. Me and the guide are, you know, carrying her out. And he's a little short guy. And Lori's like, you know, this is like rough. I mean, he's done called the park ranger and said, hey, y'all need to meet us. We got an issue, you know. And then it comes, then it starts. She says, wait, about 10 minutes. She said, it's relaxing. So we stop and it comes back in, you know, because usually she can pop it back in. And we're like, God, man, that stinks. And we had some hard hikes planned. So maybe, not maybe, we credit the enemy with a turned ankle and a jacked up tailbone as him attacking us. And God said, I am orchestrating this because I don't want you to have a heart attack on the tail end of a 13-mile hike. So I'm orchestrating your life. Errol said, that dislocated ankle was really a blessing, wasn't it? And I was like, absolutely it was. Didn't see it at the time. But absolutely it was. Even if the enemy is attacking you in some areas with, i.e., people, circumstances, and he can do that, God will take that and God will turn. This is where I want to park this morning, because we go through stuff and we are like, my gosh, this is rough, this is brutal, this is hard. This is the enemy getting the upper hand, and we think that our life is this big ebb and flow of I'm winning, I'm losing, I'm winning, I'm losing. God's winning, God's losing. And the whole time God is orchestrating, because he has purpose, because he has plan, because he has design. And he says, I have got this and nothing is going to stand in my way. The reference I was wanting to use today was we could go back to the book of Genesis. And as I look in Genesis, I see the story of Joseph. We most of us should know the story of Joseph. His brothers, he was the favored son of Jacob. And his brothers were jealous, so they sold him into slavery. Everybody remember the story? Sold him into slavery. Wound up in Egypt. All right, so he's in Egypt. He's in slavery in Egypt. He goes into Potiphar's house. So that stinks to start with, right? You're this son of this patriarchal family that God's promises rest in. And your brothers come up and they sell you into slavery because they're jealous, because dad favors you. And so he winds up in Egypt. He winds up in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's house, he's doing great, man. I mean, he is just like flourishing. And God's blessing and God's advancing. And then Potiphar's wife comes in and she puts the move on him. And he says, no, I ain't about that. And then she lies and she says, he tried to rape me. And he, when he left his coat and all of this stuff. So they throw him in prison. So yeah, maybe the enemy stirred in the heart of his brothers. Maybe the enemy stirred in the heart of Potiphar's wife. So the enemy can stir up circumstances and stir up people. But God's response to that is, I will take that and I will turn that into, to my expected end. And so we see the story of how even when he was in prison and he had the dream, the one guy had the dream, the butler and the baker, and they came and they said, can you interpret this? And he says, yeah, this is what it means. He said, remember me when you get out. And he got him. for years. So he's sitting there and he says, man, I thought that was going to be it. How many of you have been disappointed in God because of his timing? I have. That's usually my biggest thing, Nick, is the timing. I'm like, God, this ain't happening quick enough. This ain't happening when I thought it was going to happen. This ain't happening how I thought it was going to happen. And he takes this arduous path with Joseph to bring him to the place. And ultimately, we see him coming up and becoming the second most powerful person in Egypt without spending too much time on this story. But I think it's Genesis 50, verse 20, when Jacob dies, his father and his brothers are there. And they're afraid that when Jacob died, he's going to go back and he's going to say, all right, I'll get you now. And they come to him. And the famous verse in verse 20, he said, what you meant for evil, God turned it for good. You meant this to harm me, but God used it to bring glory to his life and to promote me. And I want to tell you today, God's got this. I want to tell you today from the scripture, God's got this in your life. And we look at circumstances, and I'm not saying that God comes in and orchestrates every circumstance, but I will say God comes in and God uses every circumstance. And we come in and we get so discouraged because I got a turned ankle. My tailbone's jacked up. I personally think God was orchestrating the turned ankle. You mean God would give me a dislocated ankle? Absolutely, to protect your heart. I remember Brother Damon said this one time. He was talking about the years that he was on the road in ministry, and he was going out and he was the evangelist that was going to all these places. And you know, he said that I've had people ask me, said, well, were there knocks on your doors at night with women? Because the anointing's attractive. He said, yeah. He said, but God was so faithful. He said, because the days that I was strong enough not to answer the knocks is when the knocks came, but the days that I was weak and would not have been able to resist the knocks didn't come. So Satan sent knocks, but God's grace was there. God was operating in that. And every one of us goes through stuff, guys. Every one of us goes through circumstances. Every one of us is going to go through betrayal. Every one of us is going to go through lies. Every one of us is going to be hurt in some capacity. And the enemy will try to use that to tear you apart from where God wants you to live. And God said, if you allow me to get in the middle of this. You say, man, I've been hurt by man. Well, God will use that to teach you to lean into him. How do I guard against cynicism? I've been in ministry a long time. We've been pastoring a long time. How do you guard against cynicism? You know, there's one of the sports people on ESPN. They got a little thing on their desk, and I can relate to it. It says, dogs are welcome, people are tolerated. And we get like that. We get like that. Where we're like, man, I know I'm supposed to love them, but I really don't like them. We just have to deal with it and all of that. Anita's giving a hard shake on that. How do we do that? But how do we deal with that? It's God coming in and says, let me orchestrate some things. You've been hurt, you've been betrayed and all of that stuff. Then learn that I'm your true source. That doesn't mean you sour on people. That just means that ultimately you put all of your faith and all your confidence and all your trust in me. People can't take his place. Okay? As wonderful as my wife is, she's not my provision. He is. She's a gift from him. I recognize that. I love that. I appreciate that today more than I did a week ago. But he orchestrates all of this stuff that we go through to bring us into a completed place. Look at the Apostle Paul when he was shipwrecked on the Isle of Miletus, the whole journey to Rome. He's coming through, man. He goes through. They were in a hurricane 14 days. They didn't eat. They were seasick. Can you? Anybody ever been seasick? You've been seasick before, Jacob? I have. It stinks. It is the worst sick. I've never had a drunk sick as bad as the seasick. I'm serious. Jose and Jack will not do you like the ocean will. And he had 14 days of it. He's like, man, I'm just trying to serve the Lord. And then they get shipwrecked. Whoa, we made it to dry land. Nobody dies at the word of Apostle Paul. Then he comes out with another story. Man, he's putting wood on the fire. It's cold. It's wet. And a viper comes out and bites him on the hand. And the word that said all the people saw him, and even the people of the islanders that had come to help rescue them and all this, they looked and they said, this man must be a murderer. Judgment's got him. And the word said they sat back and waited for him to die. They sat back and waited for him to die. When you go through junk in life, you know what the world's doing? Looking at you, seeing if you're going to sit back and die. Are you going to die spiritually? Are you going to die emotionally? Because you can do those things without dying physically. Are you going to die on your calling? Are you going to die on your passion? I've seen people die of their passion. Die on their passion. Because we die of a lot of things. And they're sitting back and they're watching and they say, how's Marty going to handle this? How's Krista going to handle this? She got that C report. How's she going to handle this? And we'll sit back and say, let's see what this looks like. Let's see how Stephen responds. Let's see how Paul responds. Ooh, that person, they got betrayed. How do they respond? They got hurt. How do they respond? They got talked about on Facebook. How do they respond? We act like that's persecution. Ooh, somebody talked about you on Facebook. Put your big boy panties on. You'll be all right. Right? The world won't see how you respond. In life, how do you respond? And here's the cool thing about this is when they watched him for a while, and this is in Acts, I think, 17. Or no, it might be 27. It's on up in Acts. I guess it is. It's on toward the end of Acts, 27. And it said that they watched him for a while, and when they saw that nothing happened to him because of this, okay, viper guys like rattlesnake, nothing happened to him, said they changed their mind, and they said he must be a god. So he went from a murderer to a god in their eyes based on how he handled crappy circumstance. There have been times in my life I would have probably been, you know, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this has happened to me. This is terrible. This is so bad. God, where are you at? God, why'd you let this happen to me? And all that run my, I'm trying to serve you and all this stuff. But the way he handled it. Then he went on. The governor of the island brought them all into his home. He healed his father, I think. When all the people saw that he had the anointing of healing in his life, it said they brought all the sick people on the island. All the people on the island, the sick people, he healed every one of them. It said he stayed there for 3 months, and they were so blessed because of his presence. When they got ready to leave in 3 months, you know what they did? It said they provided all the provisions that they would need for the rest of their journey. Cool thing about it, Apostle Paul was a prisoner while he was doing all this. He was leading a revival on this island of Miletus when he was a prisoner. We want everything to get lined up right, and that's when I'll start serving God. That's when I'll shout. That's when I'll worship. That's when I'll come in and I'll be consistent. I'll be persistent. All right, let's look in 27. And I'll wrap this up. I really want to leave that with you today. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings. I believe he knows them before we even know them and understand them. Yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. King James talks about the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. In verse 28, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. For we are his lovers, who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. Soak in all of that. This means the son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. What's your destiny? A lot of times we think our destiny is the scope of our life. That my destiny is to be successful in this. My destiny is to have this. My destiny is to be in this great career and to be fulfilled in it and all of that. When you say, you know, fulfill your destiny, what I see billboards. I think there's a billboard on the way to Atlanta on I-20, and it says, come to our church and you'll find your destiny. And I think, you know, in what religion does, it says you'll find your destiny when you find your right spouse, your right career, and, you know, you get the whole White House picket fence, 1.5 dogs, 2.5 kids, and the nice SUV. And that's your destiny. In that abundant life, after all. And the scripture says that our destiny is to be transformed into looking just like him. Now, some of us, you may be an entrepreneur. You may be have this huge scope in your life. There's a quote that I love. I keep it on my desk pad at work. It said, let God determine the scope of your life, but you determine the depth of your life. I'll say that again. Let God determine the scope of your life, but you determine the depth of your life. We try to reach out and we try to carve out our scope. And we say, this is my destiny. And God's, the word right here says, where's it at? He destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. Destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. And the Spirit is praying in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. So we go back to verse 28, the beginning of it. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. I've got all of that highlighted. I've got all of that underlined, but there's two words that I've got circled in that. That's every detail. And you have to believe this. Every detail is woven together. Every detail is woven together. The hurt tailbone plays a part. The dislocated ankle plays a part. The gallbladder plays a part. Because I didn't tell you this on Lori. They said, well, we still think it's an ulcer or something going on. Let's do an ultrasound. So they did an ultrasound. And when they did an ultrasound, they didn't even think in heart. Did an ultrasound. You know what they found? Gallstones. They're like, oh, that's the problem. You got gallstones. We need to take your gallbladder out. Well, before we do that, we got to do a stress test. And I'm like, you're kidding me. That's $4,000. I'm just saying me. And I got a $5,000 deductible. And I'm like, this is so unnecessary. Jacob, I was not happy. You know, but I don't want to be the bad husband that says, oh, it ain't so unnecessary. You know, because that makes you look really crappy, right? And I love my wife intensely. She's watching this now. She said, you better watch you say. I'm watching this. But I'm sitting here and I verbalize this. I said, is this a necessary test? It's a $4,000 test. I called Scott because Scott just had one. I said, Scott, are they lying to me? I said, really? This costs $4,000? He said, yeah, man. And I said, this is a racket. Healthcare is a daggone racket. Hung up the phone. So we go for the stress test. abnormal. They said, it's probably not much. You know, we'll just, probably something electrical. We can take care of that. Courtney's dealt with that for years, you know, and had stuff done. And all. But we need to do a heart cath, you know. And then I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm just being real. Like, you'd be kidding me. So I said, okay, well, we'll go do the heart cath. You know what I am so thankful for? The heart cath. God carried us along this whole path, guys. From it's probably no, I mean, Lori's been talking to, you know, Kami all the time and Stephanie all the time. Hey, what do you think this is? You know, well, it might be this, might be this. Stephanie was in there when they x-rayed her tailbone. This long path that the enemy is attacking my health. And God's like, I'm orchestrating something to get you to a place. I'm orchestrating something to get you to a place. You say, well, God could have made it real easy and just circumvented all of that and went straight to the place. Or just, why don't he just step in and heal the blockage? And it says, because he's trying to teach us to trust him. He's trying to teach us to trust the process. I want to ask you a question. Is God, do you want God? This is a good question for you. Do you want God to prepare the path for you, or do you want God to prepare you for the path? Do you want God to prepare the path for you, Nick White, or do you want God to prepare you for the path? Because if he prepares you for the path, it doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter how big Goliath is. Doesn't matter how much his shield weighs. Have y'all noticed the detail in that when it comes in Samuel and it talks about Goliath and it said, well, this, you know, his spear's like a weaver's beam and the head of his, you know, spear weighs this much and his shield weighs this much and all that. Doesn't matter. I don't remember if he's 8 foot tall or 9 foot tall or 80 foot tall. It doesn't matter because God had been preparing David. He didn't come in and size it up and say, I think this path's something that I can do. He just says, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this. I had a guy ask me recently, he said, why do you like do them long, hard hikes? It's kind of like, what would possess you to want to do that? I said, when I do stuff like that, I said, I find out stuff about me. I like to see what I'm made of, you know. I'll call it a gut check. Eric calls it something else, but it's still a check. And we want God to come in, and we want our journey in life to look like this. And when it doesn't, we say, God, let us down. And God said, I am preparing you for anything. Because when you come in, when David came in, and David took Jerusalem and made it his capital, there was one road in. And that was what was defended. He had to find another way. We know the story. He swam up the gutter, the water source. And they took it that way. And when we're prepared for the path, it doesn't matter what the enemy can bring. It doesn't matter what we don't know how to live yet. So it invites stuff to come in. We're not full in our looking like him. But he's prepared us for us. Prepared us for it. And so here's my prayer for you guys. And I've kind of been rambling and scattered and thrown in a lot of personal stuff this morning. But the word says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, right? Let me leave this with you. So we are convinced. The Apostle Paul didn't even just say, I'm convinced. He said, we are convinced. Who's he talking about? We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit. also inwardly groan. We passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons. We're the ones that are on the path. So he says, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. We're convinced that every detail of our lives, it's the preparation for the path. It's the preparation for the path. We can do everything for our kids and we can make everything easy for our kids, but the only way that they get through stuff and they learn to be more than conquerors and overcomers is when they handle the path. Right? Preparation for the path. That's what this is. That's what this looks like. It's preparation for the path. Preparation for the path. What's going to happen in Honduras in the next 5 years, Marty? I have no idea. What's the next trip look like? I have no idea. So what can we do? Just be prepared for the path. What am I going to run into on the top mountain? I have no idea. Preparation for the path. He's preparing us. He's preparing us. He's preparing us. He's preparing y'all for your husbands right now. I speak to you two girls here. He's preparing you for your husbands. He's preparing for you for your children. He's preparing you for your grandchildren, for the generation. He's preparing you for your nieces and nephews. I know yours will be perfect. Yours might be difficult, vice versa, right? But he's preparing you for the path. And all of these things, God is orchestrating. He's orchestrating the details. So what I say to you today is don't get tripped up by the dislocated ankle. Don't quit because you've had 5 dislocated ankles. We say, man, I just hit a break. His grace is sufficient. Don't punt because of the C word. If y'all don't know, Krista had cancer. There was just a process to expel it from her body. I like the way I worded that. That's what we're doing. We're expelling it from our body. No legal right, no authority. Go. 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 He's preparing you for the path. And he's orchestrating everything, Brett House. And he'll orchestrate it for your kids. Trust in that. Trust in that. It will give you an insane amount of peace, guys. It'll give you an insane amount of peace. And that's tangible. That's what the world sees and that's what the world feels. That's what they see and that's what they feel. Let's stand to our feet. All right. Everybody good? Breaking it down just kind of a base form, I kind of liken it to when we look at our kids, our young kids, my grandkids. And they fall down or they get hurt or something happens or they lose a ball game or something like that. And it's a big deal to them, so it is a big deal. But we see it in the proper context. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a big deal to them, so it is a big deal. Your boo-boo's a big deal. But in the proper context, I know that in 5 minutes, they're going to be running and playing. So I'm not like, oh my gosh, and all of that stuff. Amber, you'll be amazed on this second one. Not fragile. Made out of rubber. He'd be all right. It's a big deal to God because it is a big deal to us, but he sees it in the proper context. I cannot believe that God let a lion come and attack my flock of sheep. I barely got out of that with my life. I was like, man, I'm just getting you ready for Goliath. So this stuff that's coming into your life, a lot of times preparing you for stuff, and a lot of times it is just moving the people pieces into the proper place. Very rarely in the game of chess, very rarely does a pawn capture anything, but it orchestrates the other moves. And a lot of these things are simply God moving the pieces around to orchestrate something much bigger. Rest in that. He loves you too much to fail. Y'all remember when the banking crisis happened a few years ago? I promise I'm closing with this. Y'all remember when the banking crisis happened? I forgot when it was. 2008? But the government, it's kind of funny, they'd let some stuff fail, but some stuff they said it's too big to fail. And there were a lot of these banks that were too big to fail, so the government would not let them fail because they knew the chaos that it would cause. You're not too big to fail, you're too loved to fail. He loves you too much. He loves you too much. He'll orchestrate. He'll move pieces. But he loves you too much. He died so you would not come into a place of destruction. Rest in that. Rest in that. Man, I love you guys. Y'all have an awesome week this week. Youth tonight, 5:30, right, Amber? 5:30 to 8:30. So y'all come out for that. And we'll see everybody next Sunday. Y'all have an amazing week. And, man, just go out there and be. Go out there and be. Live your life. Live your life. Get off Instagram and quit wishing you were somebody else's life. Live your life. Live your life because it is amazing. It's amazing. All right?